In our gospel today, you know, Peter had been listening to Jesus preach for a while, and we don't really know what Peter thought at that moment. You know, I'm sure Jesus made at least some impression on him, because when Jesus tells him to put out from shore and cast the net into the water, he did it. You know, he was a professional fisherman. He knew that he probably wouldn't be catching any fish. It was the middle of the day. You know, there was a huge crowd there. If there was any, and he had been out all night and hadn't caught anything. But he did it anyway. So we know that our Lord made some impression on him. But it's when he had this huge catch of fish, something that Peter knew was so far out of the realm of natural possibility, that he recognized who Jesus really was. You know, he witnessed a sign that he knew was supernatural. And that's when he fell on his knees and said to Jesus, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now, I think a lot about why so many people in the United States have left the practice of the faith. I guess as a priest, that's one of the things I think about. And it's not just a problem with the Catholic Church. It's a problem across all different religious denominations and groups in our country. And I'm sure that there's a lot of different reasons that contribute to it. But I think one of the reasons at the heart of the matter is the loss of the notion of who God really is. And flowing from that, if we recognize who God really is, we'll recognize that our only proper response to him is worship and adoration. In the ancient world, people understood the need for God. Every ancient civilization had some form of religion and worship. It's only in the modern world that we've lost that sense, that people try to live without God, as if we can replace him with our own pride and our own possessions, as if that's going to be good enough. But we quickly find out that we can't do that. First of all, because it's irrational. God does exist, so it's irrational to live as if he doesn't exist. And secondly, it violates the most fundamental truth of our existence. We're created by God for him. And so if we don't live that way, there's going to be a fundamental disconnect within ourselves. You know, we have an incredible scene that plays out in our first reading. And the prophet Isaiah is seeing a vision. And he sees a vision of the temple in heaven. And as part of that vision, he sees the seraphim. The word seraphim means fiery ones. These were angels of fire. And tradition tells us that they're the highest of the nine choirs of angels. They're the closest to God. And they're so close to God that they're consumed with the fire of his love. And so these angels of fire are surrounding the throne. And then he sees the Lord. And he says that the train of his garment is filling the whole temple. And the angels are crying out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts." And as they're crying out these calls of worship, the whole temple is shaking and it's filled with incense. And Isaiah is struck with fear because of his own sinfulness when he's in the presence of the all-holy God. I don't think most people realize what really happens at Mass. The Mass is not just a prayer service. It's not just all of us coming here to pray together. That's part of it, but that's not really what's going on. And it's not a reenactment of a past event. And we're not here just to sing hymns together. These are all parts of what happens, but it's not the essential element of what really happens at Mass. At Mass, the priest calls down the Holy Spirit upon the altar. And the Holy Spirit descends in fire upon the altar. And bread and wine is transformed into God incarnate, Jesus Christ, who becomes present at the consecration. And the train of his garment fills the entire universe. The same God who's present in the host at the altar is holding every molecule in existence in the entire universe. And he's present upon the altar. And the seraphim and the choirs of angels are kneeling down in adoration around the altar. And we ourselves kneel down in worship. That's what's happening at Mass. It's an encounter with the true God who veils himself behind the appearance of bread and wine. And when we're at Mass, we offer a sacrifice. Because that's how you worship God. You offer sacrifice. And the sacrifice that we offer is the greatest possible sacrifice that could ever be offered. There is nothing that we could offer that matches the sacrifice of the Mass. Even if we gave our own lives, it wouldn't match the sacrifice of the Mass. Because the sacrifice that we offer is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ offering himself to his heavenly Father. It is a divine action. And so it has infinite value because it's the infinite God offering himself, the Son, to his heavenly Father. The sacrifice that's offered on the altar is the sacrifice of the cross. If people really understood what happens at Mass, nobody would ever leave the Catholic Church. They'd never stop practicing the faith. At least no one who desires to love and serve God. We might flee because of our own sinfulness, you know, like Isaiah or like Peter confessing their sinfulness. But no one would just leave the church. If we understood what was really going on, we would be convicted at the depths of our soul that the worship of God that happens at Mass is the greatest possible thing that we could do in our entire lives. We would behold the majesty of God, and we would offer him the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, uniting our own worship and adoration to that. You know, Peter listened to Jesus preach for a while, but it was only when he saw the catch of fish that his eyes were opened and the dots connected in his head, and he fell down in amazement and worship of the Lord. Because it's only at that moment that he recognized who he was in the midst of. And so I encourage each one of us here today to pray that the Lord opens our minds and enables us to see whose presence we're in and to understand the sacrifice that's being offered on this altar, so that each one of us can unite and enter into true worship and adoration of God.